It's time for Off the Curve with Justin Spiro.
Now, welcome back to Off the Curve. Justin Spiro here with the Red Wings rebuild, I guess. The Iser plan, whatever you want to call it. Continuing on. It has been, 4 years into this thing, and I think we're finally starting to see some things grow. But there's been a lot of, furrowed eyebrows, a lot of question marks around what's going on. And this is sort of an interesting crossover, seeing a Colorado Avalanche forward come over to Detroit on what I would argue is a pretty, big deal, relatively speaking. Obviously, you're not talking about the top line guys, but JT Compher comes here on a 5-year deal, AAV 5.1, a pretty solid investment, a guy that's been mostly a bottom six dude until this last year in Colorado, forced to effectively through their myriad injuries move up. And I've actually watched a lot of this guy because most of the people here know and put the siren on. I'm good friends with Jack Johnson, and he's been there for most of the last couple of years. So I've seen this guy play a lot. I like him. Michigan grad, so a lot of people here are familiar with his game as well. But it has raised some eyebrows. I wanted to ask an expert, a guy that knows more than me about this kind of stuff for sure, Peter Ball from The Athletic, friend of mine, smart guy. Really, really plugged into the Avalanche. Peter, so you know JT very well. You've watched this guy play. You've covered him for a living in part. What do you make of the signing in Detroit? Is this an overpay, as some seem to think it is?
Yeah, I don't know if I would say it's necessarily an overpay. It's certainly a hefty contract. I kind of expected JT to get in this range just because he's very similar to Andrew Kopp, and that's around, he got, I think, 5 by 5.6. So it makes sense that JT's in this range. I think the biggest, variable in all of this is that the salary cap's going to be going up a lot in the next few years. So this might just be the going rate for guys in the next few years, even if he's more of a bottom six center or maybe a second line winger, but not a full-time top six player. I think he's an interesting fit with the Red Wings because when I look at the Red Wings, I kind of think they need goal scorers a little bit more. And JT is a guy who he can definitely put the puck in the net. He has a good shot and good net front presence, but he's definitely not a super high scoring presence. I think this past year was maybe a little bit of an outlier because he was playing a lot with Mika Rantanen on the second line. But this is a good player. Like, he's a solid two-way hockey player who can defend at a high level. I'm just curious how his offense will translate to Detroit. And if in this first season, $5 million will seem like a little much because his scoring numbers are down.
And I mean, you kind of said it right there, and I'm going to butcher your colleague's last name, and I'm sure I won't be the first one, so apologies in advance, but I'm going to go for it. It's Eric Duhatchek.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, you got it.
I got that. Oh, Michigan State, man. So what are you going to do? Michigan State comms department is going to be really strong and proud of me here. So, okay, so this is Eric Duhatchek, your colleague at The Athletic. His breakdown, he was underwhelmed by the value here. He just said, does what Detroit gave Compher feel like an overpay? Yes. And this gets into what you're saying. Before last season, he'd never scored more than 18 goals and 33 points. Those are bottom six numbers. You can't pay $5.1 million for bottom six production. Your fellow colleague, Shayna Goldman, in the same piece saying, does this signing by Detroit make any sense? The Wings have a ton of cap space, but their direction right now is confusing. Goes on to say they need to address their offense more, goal scoring. This doesn't really feel like it satisfies that requirement. So, you're all kind of saying the same stuff. You seem to be a little less critical of the move at large. I don't see him as a guy, and for the reasons somewhat you outlined, that is going to produce at a level to justify that contract given his line mates in Detroit. Basically, you looked at beyond a contract year, which you always get that little bump in a lot of guys, but he had the absolutely perfect hockey situation. Second line in Colorado is like a dream for, it's better than a lot of teams' first line situations. He was filling in on that second line out of necessity. I mean, couldn't I argue that, yes, this defensive prowess is there, but this could look pretty bad right away if the line mates aren't going to be able to help him in the way that we saw in Colorado. I think this could look bad pretty quick, actually.
I think it could look bad, and then it could look better as time goes on, because I think the cap going up is going to influence how we view these contracts. And that's what I think intrigues me is I think I agree with Shayna that the Red Wings were a weird fit because they're a team that needs a little more offense, that it doesn't feel like they've got Andrew Kopp. They've got players like that who can play that two-way game. And I guess you can never have enough of those guys, but you can have enough of those guys if they're making over $5 million, which JT will be making. So I think that there are teams where maybe giving him this contract would have made more sense than Detroit, who's in a bit of a different situation. Like, if there was a team that had cap space, was a contending team that needed a two-way guy to hold down the fort at center and maybe fill in on the power play and penalty kill, I think this contract would make more sense. It's just it's an interesting fit in Detroit given their situation with needing offense, as Shayna said. I think that the contract will age maybe a little better just because we don't know exactly where the cap's going to be in the next few years. And if it goes up $4 million each of the next two summers, like it could help.
Like, everything you said is completely valid. I do laugh, though, because that's like the common refrain for any time there's like a concern someone was overpaid. It's always like, well, the cap's going up. But it's valid. I mean, you're not wrong. But it always feels like if that's the justification, I'm not thrilled about that, because it's like a default that you could say about literally any signing ever, because the cap going up is obviously going to make every deal look a little bit better. So I agree, but it's also not as comforting as I think I would want it to be. Yeah. I like the player. I mean, I watched more Avalanche the last 2 years in Red Wings just because of the friend situation there. So like I know him pretty well as well in his game, and he was one of the nicer guys at the Stanley Cup party. So I'm rooting for him. But I do wonder what this looks like. And he just, to me, seems like a guy that Detroit fans are going to be sitting here in December and will be, you know, what is it, 18 games into the season or so. And I mean, he'll be on two goals and we're like, oh, shit, what are we doing here? I have some paranoia about it. We'll see. Obviously, you're getting the prime years at five, so like there's no age concern or prime concern. One thing that I'll say, I like to look at the attitude of fans, you know, of a team that we just got a guy from. Like, how sad are they to lose him? They seemed a lot sadder about Kadri. That's just my anecdotal experience. You see this stuff a lot more. When Kadri left last year, and you know, you and I know some of the machinations of how they were trying to see if they could make some way to work this out to keep them and move guys, it didn't work out. It seemed like the team and the fan base was more melancholy about Kadri, and they don't seem devastated, either team or fans, to lose Kopp. Not that they wanted to get rid of him, but it's kind of like we'll be fine. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think Nazem Kadri's a better, more complete hockey player than JT Compher. And that's not a slight at JT. It's just the reality of the situation. Nazem Kadri had more than a point a game the year before and then scored an overtime winner in the Stanley Cup final. So he had a lot of backing within the Avs and the Avs franchise. I think Avs fans were definitely bummed to see Compher go, because he's been there for a long time. He's kind of been one of the constants as the team has gone from the worst team in the league to a Stanley Cup champion. But he's not the same level of offensive player as Nazem Kadri. I think the Avs would have loved to have had him back. I just don't think the salary made sense for a cap-strapped team. Detroit has the cap space. What interests me is he feels more like less of a ceiling raiser and more of a floor raiser. And I feel like Detroit might need ceiling raisers right now. But he's a good player. Like, I think he'll do a lot of the little things right. It's just, can he find a way to come close to his offensive production from last year? And I think that's going to be really tough.
Well, I mean, we haven't made the playoffs in what feels like 100 years by our standards. So after that long streak, so I would take a ceiling raiser or a floor raiser. But I'm with you. I'm with you across the board. It's one of those signings where you're just, it's not, it's crazy to get mad about. Like, he's a good player. You didn't pay him an astronomical sum. Like, there's, I don't think it's some egregious thing. And I think like the Athletic grades, you know, for whatever value you place on those, and the grades kind of around circles is somewhere between like C plus and a B. And that's kind of, it's in that range. It doesn't feel like an A. It's not a conundrum contract either, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. I think he does raise the level of talent in the room. I just think it's, again, I would have gone more goal scorer route. And, you know, I don't think you guys were that devastated out there about losing him. It just seems like one of those, good player, thanks for everything, and move on.
Yeah.
It does not make me thrilled. I want the guy that people are like lamenting the exit, and it doesn't seem like that. But all right, Peter, we'll let you go. Very short notice on your part. I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm looking forward to talking to you throughout the year and bugging you about what's going on in Denver with my buddy out there. They better play him a lot. Tell Bednar we want to see a lot of number three. Yeah, let Bednar know, because, you know, I've only met him once. You know him better than I do, but I expect a lot of clock out there for the old man out there on the back line. Thanks. Peter Baugh, Athletic, great job by him tapping in. So, yeah, we'll see about Conver. I'm looking forward to reaching out to a couple other people that have seen him play and have covered him, and we're trying to work out something with Adrian Dater about this as well, longtime Denver Post guy, and is a bit of a fire breather. And I think he's been pretty critical of the Red Wings on this and does not love the contract. So I like getting the different views. Conver's a good player. Like, it has nothing to do with the player. It's just a little underwhelming. It's kind of like a Tigers signing Javi Baez thing. It's like years into the rebuild, this is it kind of thing. I mean, that's more of what it is. Although I like Comper as a hockey player more than I like Baez as a baseball player, but we'll see. We're going to stay on it. The Red Wings offseason, it's a thing. It's kind of a thing, I guess. Screw Avenue, Off the Curve, Justin Screw. See you next time. Thanks.